What I'd like to do this morning is take a look at the chapter in Roar of the Tigris, Volume 2, that is called Beyond the Dream. And, you know, since this book's available online through Shasta Abbey's website and so on, if you find what we're talking about of interest, I'd highly recommend that you take a look at this chapter. It's a very lengthy one, so I'm going to be basically reading excerpts and so on. So because it's a very lengthy chapter, what I wanted to do was touch on a particular thread that Reverend Master G.U. develops in it. And I think it's quite relevant to what we've been talking about, discussing over the last number of weeks. So Beyond the Dream, it's from a lecture that Reverend Master G.U. gave in the Monk's Meditation Hall at Shasta Abbey, probably back in the 1980s. And it's from one of the chapters in Great Master Dogen's work, The Shobo Genzo. And I know this isn't the right Japanese pronunciation, but it's something along the lines of Muchu Setsumu. And that's been translated as giving expression to a vision from within the vision. Now, apparently in the title of, so Muchu Setsumu, it has the word mu in it twice. It's a Chinese character that's pronounced mu, but it's not the mu that we're aware of, that we know about, that means emptiness. In this case, the character means, it means either dream or vision. Those are the two closest English words for it. And Reverend Master G.U. says that she will use the word dream to refer to how we usually see our world, so the world that we're living in, normal everyday life that we're aware of. She'll use the word vision to refer to that which goes beyond the dream. So she's using the word vision to talk about that which goes beyond this world, this everyday world that we live in and that we're aware of. Now, the starting place for talking about this chapter, for this teaching in the Shobo Genzo, Reverend Master G.U. says, is to recall the Diamond Sutra, the Diamond Scripture. And there's the verse in it that we've translated as, "Thus shall ye think of all this fleeting world, a star at dawn, a bubble in a stream, a child's laugh, a phantasm, a dream." So in other words, all of those images, all of those descriptions are of basically the transiency of life. And just as a quick clarification too, the word dream, she's using in the sense of what we have at night when we're sleeping. I'm thinking of, for example, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s famous speech of "I have a dream." That's not the way she's using this word. In, you know, Martin Luther King's way of using that word, he's obviously talking about a vision, an aspiration, and so on. But in this case, the word dream is very specifically referring to something that we have at night, usually. And it's a very good thing to keep referring back to, because, as I'm sure is the case with all of you, I've had, over my lifetime, I've had some pretty amazing, wonderful dreams. and they're gone. You can't hold on to them. They were really happening at the time, but again, you can't grasp onto them. And you certainly can't, as much as I've tried, I would guess some of you have tried too, at least when I was younger, it's like I tried to go back to bed and see if I could have that dream continue. So Reverend Master Jiyu is saying that this line from the Diamond Sutra, which is describing the transiency of life, she says the true reality lies beyond this transiency. The true reality, let's see, the vision within the dream, therefore, is that which is real, because it goes beyond our usual everyday reality. And then there's some interesting she says where the true reality, the vision, it has the characteristic of seeming to be unreal from within the dream into which we presently live. When we have a glimpse of this reality, we call it a vision because in our world of dreams, i.e. our everyday ordinary life, we have no suitable word in our vocabulary to describe that which is unborn, unbecome, unmade, and uncompounded. And then she says very, it would be interesting to listen to the recording that this chapter was transcribed from, because she says, it is imperative to know from personal experience this vision within the dream. I would imagine she is saying that as directly and as strongly and with as much faith and certainty as she can muster. Then what Reverend Master Jiyu does is she gives us a koan, or she talks about a koan. And she says in the code of ancient Zen writings, this reality that lies beyond the dream is also sometimes called the head, as in the head that's on top of your shoulders. Perhaps you have heard the old koan which poses the question, what do you do when a tiger chases you up to the head of a 10-foot pole? Now, since some of us have been, we were looking at that koan book not too long ago, several of you will be very well versed in how to solve this koan. Now, what she says though, in this case, the tiger is also code for the will to train. And the pole is both the stem of the lotus of training and the physical spine. So already she's touching on things that she has developed, talked about very extensively in How to Grow a Lotus Blossom. So the question that has been posed by this koan is not one of what to do when there is a large cat licking its chops at the bottom of a pole on top of which you are sitting. If you know the code, it's when the will chases you to the ends of training and the spirit rises to greet the unborn, rises to greet the true reality, what do you do? And she says the answer is very simple. You just be one with the true reality. The answer is to enter the vision within the dream, leaving aside what you know to be real. And she has "know to be real" in quotes. This is where Zen training will lead. You know, if you sit down and meditate, remember how Reverend Master Jiyu used to say, you run the risk of being grabbed by the cosmic Buddha. If you sit down and meditate, the true reality over time will reveal itself. This is where Zen training will lead, and this is the choice that we must make. So the will to train is basically the exercising of, it's the putting into action the choice that we're making moment to moment, day to day. You either remain within your dream, holding on for dear life to what you know, she's got no in quotes, or you leap into the unknown, wherein lies the true reality. So what I'd like to do with sort of combining the paragraph she has about the Diamond Sutra and then the one I've just read is I'd like to put a bookmark there in that Reverend Master Jiyu is giving us very, very clear instructions on how to meditate, you know, what we specifically need to be doing while we're meditating, and what is going to unfold during our life of meditation. And I would like to really talk much more extensively about that, take a closer look at meditation. But I'm thinking I might do that next week in subsequent talks, because there's a lot more in here I wanted to also kind of unpack for all of us. So there's another section where Reverend Master Jiyu moves on to say that, so she's already talked about when we get to the head of the pole, when we get to the head, and actually that reminds me, we have in the verse, the mealtime verse, in the beginning the mallet will strike the Buddha on the foot, later it will strike him on the head. This again is referring to the exact same thing. And if you remember How to Grow a Lotus Blossom, in the book Reverend Master Jiyu talks about basically the sword of Buddha's wisdom piercing her in the third eye, in the head, and all that unfolded from that. It's basically the opening up to the true reality, Buddha nature, and it entering into you, into her. But then she goes on to talk a little bit more about the true reality. And one of the things she says that we're very well aware of, it cannot be understood by the reasoning mind, let alone by the religious doctrines and theories that people put upon you in your childhood. I didn't have any stuff put in upon me in my childhood in that respect, but I know she did, and I know a fair few of people do also. She says, know that a full explanation of the true reality is impossible. And therefore, all the words that I have said are inadequate and wrong in one sense, but they are an attempt to explain the inexplicable. They are, you know, once again, they are a very sincere attempt on her part, on my part, on any teacher's part, to try to impart a pointing out of the direction, to impart, you know, what the true reality is. And also be aware that all words are inadequate and inaccurate. And I know that, so don't hold me to what I say sometimes. Now, the next part that she talks about is, I think, something getting at the incredible importance, and the word incredible is very much an understatement, but the just the vital importance of temples and places of training and what their functions are. She says that the place where the vision within the dream is most fully given expression is the assembly of the Sangha. And right now, we are one assembly of a Sangha together. She says, as such, this assembly is the place of the greatest intimacy which humankind can experience, for it is the place of the sharing of truth. So the reason that we human people, we humans come together in temples and meditation groups and so on, is we are wanting to share in the truth. And she says, it is the place of practice and the place of teaching, the place of the turning of the wheel of the Dharma, the place of the flowering of the Dharma. And it can be challenging, I know, in our present times, because it's prudent for us to be joining via Zoom, so you don't have the very helpful unfolding of coming to a temple, walking into the temple and basically having that, realizing that you're walking into a space, into a place where you're wishing to share in that truth. So one of the things that can be very helpful on occasion as a reminder is that try to, when you're joining by Zoom, try to really bring that to mind, that when you're connecting via Zoom to the temple, whatever temple that may be, that you've walked in to the temple and all that that represents for you and your practice. I thought it was really wonderful to see, contrary to my failing memory, Rinpoche Master Gyu uses the word intimacy. And she uses it very specifically in terms of the Dharma and the sharing of the truth. The sharing of the truth and the support that we're giving each other for our own individual journeys in the unfolding of the truth. And here's Reverend Master Gyu then takes it from the coming together as a Sangha and the sharing in the truth, the sharing in our practice, to say that as the dream subsides over the course of training, as we cease to be interested so much in the dream and become more and more interested in the true reality, so the truth emerges. We can know from our own living experience that which previously seemed to be but a pleasant dream within our dreaming. And we can know that what we have up to now called reality, in quotes, is but a dream. I've come across these teachings, well, I came across these teachings a long time ago. And I know for myself it has been a real process in my training to really deepen my understanding of the statement that this reality that we take, this life we have that we take as reality is but a dream. And to see what's really being pointed out there, it doesn't mean that it's not important or isn't occurring. But I think the process of clarifying it, and as Reverend Master Gyu was saying, as we're more and more acknowledging, being honest that actually everything that has unfolded in our life is transient, realizing that it's not really a refuge, that as we meditate, as we go about our daily life, expressing and expressing that understanding that that's the only way that we're able to open ourselves up to the true reality. Notice how she says it becomes something more than what previously was just a pleasant dream within our dreaming. There needs to be this over time, this clarification, this deepening of us understanding what's really going on. Really seeing that fundamentally, that transiency and our grasping onto it or trying to hold on to it, that actually is really, that's suffering for us. Even though it may seem that our dream, our everyday dream, is really wonderful at times, despite that, it's transient. And I think we need to go through a lot of grieving, or a lot of anger, a lot of disappointment, perhaps. And over time, we also realize that being sad and grieving and being angry, that's also transient, in the sense of we can't hold on to that. That doesn't help either. The anger in not being able to continue the great dream we had last night doesn't actually make the dream come back any better. So, I mean, I'm touching on it, sort of highlighting things here, but there's a real depth here to what we, the life of practice and training that we go through, and clarifying what's the dream and what's the vision. What's the dream and what's the true reality? And it is too bad that this is no more substantial than a dream. But it's not our fault. That's just the way it is. I'm realizing what I've ended up doing for what I'm talking about is actually just commenting on and reading Reverend Master Jiyu's commentary. Haven't really quoted anything from Great Master Dogen, but I'll let you do that if you wish. Okay, let me just check here what next. So another aspect about the vision, Reverend Master Jiyu says that many people have flashes of realization. Many people have the arising of the pleasant dream within the dream. But very few, it would seem, know what to do with them, she says. And she brings out this quote that many of us are familiar with. She says, in Christianity, it is said, many are called, but few are chosen. But in Buddhism, it is more that all are called, but few answer. In other words, the true reality is there. And Reverend Master Jiyu says, if they do not answer, it is usually because they lack sufficient faith to believe in the vision instead of the dream. And then she divulges a secret that us Zen masters know. She says, herein lies the great secret that one master passes on to another. Without faith in the reality of the vision, the only reality that will be believed in will be the worldly dream. So it really, really comes down to faith. Faith that there is a true reality. Faith that there is an unborn, undying, unchanging. And she says, thus there will be constant wandering and searching and samsara down the centuries, you know, for those who don't have that faith. It is because we lose sight of the vision that we busily try to keep the dream as our reality and try to force ourselves and others and the world to turn it into a real reality. And she says it never works. And then she talks about how it never works because, as we well know, when we have a really wonderful dream, we can't keep it going. And it's the same with our waking dream. And as to forcing ourselves and others, she says that this is a state in which most of us live most of the time. You can see it in the desperateness with which people try to keep the dream called my life, in quotes, going, and in the urgency with which they distract themselves. So again, I think it's really helpful to remind me in reading this, this is a formal lecture Reverend Master Ji is giving to her monks in the meditation hall. You can really feel her pointing very, very deeply, really holding out her arm in the, you know, holding out her faith so that people can hold on to this, trust in this. It's interesting how this particular chapter, she, as is the case in meditation hall lectures, you know, the teacher, there will be things that just arise, and they don't necessarily seem to follow, you know, just a very, what, a very straight path. But what's interesting is Reverend Master Ji then jumps into talking to people about our concern with our bodily health. And she makes it very, very clear that she's not talking about, you know, oh, you don't need to go to a doctor if something really serious is going on. She's not talking about that. She's talking about the reality that this body, as Dogen says, this body is as transient as dew on the grass. We know about birth, old age, disease, and death. And this all needs to be looked at within the context of this is all a dream. This is all a bubble in a stream. This is all a star at dawn. The little tiny twinkling star at dawn that you see suddenly gets completely engulfed in the brilliancy of the day. But when you really start realizing, understanding that this life is not the refuge, she says, those who know the vision actually don't worry about the fact that the body and the mind and life is transient. And she says, paradoxically, with a lot of Zen masters, because they know the vision and they're not worried about the transiency, she talks about Zen masters living to a great old age. She says it's, you know, you don't have the vision so that you can kick the bucket and then just go off and enjoy it. And then again, I can see her very pointedly saying this to her monks. You get the vision, you have the faith in the vision so that samsara ceases to be samsara and instead becomes a beautiful playground or a great garden in which he or she can wander and play and work and help others to find the vision. But the master cannot help them to find that vision if all they are concerned about is the dream. Right here it's much, much more than this, but right there that's a very direct explanation as to why we don't go out trying to drum up business. A person has to at some point have an inkling that this life that we're in you know, one way of putting it is surely there must be more. And we all know the effort it requires, the work it requires to do this practice, and how difficult it is emotionally to actually be putting down what we normally think of as reality. And so we have to wait till people are actually ready for that. We actually have to wait until they're willing to walk into the temple gate, in through the temple gate. And as we all know from ourselves and others, lots can happen even after you walk through the temple gate. So Reverend Master Jesus, he says, so remembering this, do not worry so much about the dream. Keep your perspective on what is vision and what is dream. What we can do is to have faith in the reality of the true reality and know through our continuous training what is real and what is but a dream. So this next bit that Reverend Master Jiyu says, I feel, is probably one of the most important things she says in the whole chapter. She's saying this right in the heart of Shasta Abbey. She's saying this right within the heart of the Sangha. To make the vision appear within the dream, although it is not a calculated or deliberate act, is an act of willingness and of faith. It is essential. It is your only true purpose for being here, to make the vision appear within the dream and to know the truth and reality of the vision. It is the only true purpose for being here. And turned kind of the other direction, that's the only purpose for a temple, is so that people can gather here to share in that intimacy of wishing to find the truth and to allow the vision to unfold. Now it seems to be that this life that we call reality, the way our minds work in it is that when we hear one thing said as being the case, we automatically infer that all those other things are wrong or not the case. So please take this as it's stating this is what a temple is for. But there are many, many other things that are good to do and need to be done. And of course, we do those things. And a temple is for enabling people to have that vision and know that it's the true reality. So I wanted to end this by one final quote at the very end of the chapter. Her Master Jiyu says, do not be caught up in the dream of worldly things. Do not forsake your own sitting place to wander by streams and within mountains. Keep away from the great and the worldly. This is the way of the Buddhas and ancestors. This is what will eventually bring to fruition what is predicted by the Buddhist fourth law of the universe, which matters so deeply at this present time. In the long run, without fail, evil is vanquished and good prevails. Reverend Master Jiyu was saying, it's so deeply important at this present time. And she was talking about the 1980s, as best I know. But I would say even more so, it's important and relevant today. Don't forsake your own sitting place. Don't forsake your own opportunity to find the true reality. And it takes a great deal of faith, a great deal of trust to do so. Okay, that's all I had for this morning.